Well, turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. We're continuing, of course, our study of the book of Philippians. If maybe for some of you this might be your first time, we go through the Bible verse by verse, passage by passage. We started the book of Philippians several weeks ago, and we're now in Philippians chapter 2. And last time, we actually looked at a section, verses 5 through 11. And last time, looked at verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. And this morning, the emphasis will be 9, 10, and 11. But we're seeing Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. He founded this church on his second missionary journey. He's in prison. They have sent him a gift, and so he writes them, thanking them for the gift, but also to encourage them to have joy even in the trials and the persecution of life. And over the last few weeks, we have seen Paul charges these believers to live in unity. And that's a key, to think the same way, to have the same mind, the same love, and the same purpose. Well, how in the world can we as believers have unity? Well, it goes back to humility. We have to live in humility toward each other. Paul then gives the greatest example of humility, and that is Jesus Christ. He humbled himself, leaving the glories of heaven, becoming a person to die on the cross. And what we've done is last time we saw Christ's humility. That's verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, in which we saw him leave the glories of heaven and come to this earth to die for us. And this morning we're going to see Christ's exaltation, where God raises him up, God the Father raises him, exalts him above, and gives him the name above all names. And we'll see how that fits together. He indeed is our God and our Savior and our King. As we complete this section, this is verses 5 through 11, we see the exaltation of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we want to be encouraged as we study this. Well, you know, there are some strange truths in the Bible, and sometimes they're called a paradox or paradoxes. Think about this. The Bible says, to gain your life, you must lose it. To be great, you must become a servant. When we are weak, that's when we're strong. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, those are all true. We find there's one more in this passage this morning, and that is a truth of this, that those who humble themselves, God will exalt. Jesus Christ taught in Matthew chapter 23, verse 12, here's what he says, and whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. This is a great truth that's found throughout the Bible. I want you to think about it. For salvation, we have to humble ourselves. And what I mean by that is we have to realize that it's not ourselves. We can't do good. We can't be good enough. We can't do anything to gain our salvation. Jesus is the Savior. He's done it all. We put our faith and faith alone in Jesus, and we're saved. So we have to humble ourselves, realizing that we can't do anything to gain salvation. So that second is we humble ourselves in the Christian life, because we realize we're supposed to live in humility as we relate to God, as we relate to others. In fact, think about our relationships. Humility is the key. In chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 3, it says, do nothing from selfishness, but in humility of mind regard others as more important. Colossians 3, verse 12 says, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility. And what we see is that when we humble ourselves, there's a great biblical truth: God will exalt us. There'll be rewards and blessing, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. In fact, humility is the key. Listen to the truths from the Word of God about humility and exaltation. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Proverbs 18, verse 12, before destruction, the heart of the man is pride, but before honor is humility. As believers, when we live in humility, God exalts us. As we continue this morning, we're seeing this in this section, verses 5 through 11 of chapter 2, we're seeing the example of Jesus Christ, both his humility and his exaltation. Jesus humbled himself, and God highly exalted him. And it's true for us. Now, think about it. As believers, when we live a life of humility, following the example of Jesus, because that's the flow of the passage, we will be exalted, and we'll see that we'll see how this fits together as we go through it. Let me break down the passage for you. First of all, we're in the whole section is Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Last time we looked at the charge to think like Christ, that's verse 5, and then we actually saw the humility of Christ in verses 6, 7, and 8. This morning, as we continue, we're going to see the exaltation of our Savior Jesus Christ in verses 9, 10, and 11. The whole thing goes together. We call it the humility and the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Last time is humility, this time is exaltation. Well, let's begin with just a little bit of a review. Last time we saw that Paul is writing to these believers, and he's telling them that they need to have unity. And then he says the way you have unity is humility with each other. And then he gives the greatest example of humility, and that is Jesus Christ. And We talked about it. We saw how Jesus left the glories of heaven, how he came to this earth to become a human being, how he humbled himself to become obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He came and died for us, and that's the greatest picture of humility. And there's so much there. And so he's really charging these believers to say that just as Jesus did that, we need to have unity because we have that same attitude. The same attitude of Jesus Christ. And he gave that example. Look at verse 5 when he says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's saying, think like Jesus. Even though Jesus Christ is God, he left the glories of heaven to become a human being. And it's an amazing thing. And he came to provide salvation for us. He came to die and rise again. He became to be the mediator. In fact, that's the story of the Bible. The whole reconciliation that we see in Scripture is the perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the story of the Bible. Now, we see that Jesus Christ, last time in those verses, Jesus humbled himself. Let me show you something. I want to read verses 5 through 8, and I want you to see his five steps of humility. Notice this. It says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But number one, he emptied himself. Number two, he took the form of a bondservant. Number three, he was made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man. Number four, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Number five, even death on a cross. We see the humility of our Savior. He left the glories of heaven. In fact, we have those five things. He veiled his glory. The first one, when it says he emptied himself. Some of your Bibles might say he made himself of no reputation, or he emptied himself, or something like that. It literally, the idea, the best that we can tell, it means he veiled his glory. He when he came to this earth, when people saw him, they didn't recognize him as God because he veiled the glory that he has as the living God. He became a servant. He came to do the will of the Father, which was to die and pay for sin. He became a human being. He left the glories of heaven so he could be our substitute. Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his Son born of a woman. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh. So exactly at the right time, Jesus Christ became a human being. Then it says that he died in our place, and that's exactly what he did. He took our sin. He died in our place on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust. And so we see that. And last but not least, the fifth step down is he died on the cross. He didn't just die. He didn't die of old age. He didn't die on a mattress. He died on the cross to pay for our sins, the shame and humiliation. We call that the humiliation of Jesus Christ, how he left the glories of heaven, veiled his glory, became a servant, became a person, died for us, and died on the cross. It's very powerful. As Jesus humbled himself, putting others first, what Paul is saying to these Philippians and to us is that we need to do the same thing. We need to humble ourselves by putting others first. Remember the great truth, Matthew 23, verse 12, whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Exaltation follows humility. This morning we see the exaltation of Jesus because it follows his humility. God has raised him up. Now think about this. Jesus Christ died for us, paying for our sins. That's his humility. God raised him from the dead. He conquered death. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's his exaltation. And we'll see that. Look at verse 9. This is how he starts it. He says, For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, those who are in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He starts off for saying, for this reason. For what reason? Because of the humiliation. Because Jesus Christ was willing to leave the glories of heaven, become a human being. We have a hard time understanding this. And we talked about it last time, that do you realize what it meant for Jesus Christ, who is the eternal God, to become a human being? We use that example. We said, what if we saw these ants and we said, okay, I'm going to become an ant so I can communicate with the ants. That's nothing compared to what Jesus did, because see, we didn't make the ants and we haven't always existed. He's always existed and he's the creator, and yet he was willing to become like us, become a human being. Now, when we think about this exaltation, because it says, for this reason, God has all highly exalted him. Highly exalted. When we think of exaltation, there are two aspects. I want you to think about them. One, we're going to talk about his resurrection, because God has exalted him by raising him from the dead. But number two, he's exalted him with his position as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he is God. Let's think first about resurrection, his resurrection from the dead. Do you realize that when Jesus Christ came, humbled himself to be obedient to death, even the death of the cross, the way God exalted him as he raised Jesus from the dead. He paid for our sins and he conquered death. Listen to this. I just want you, you don't have to turn there. This is Matthew 28, verses 5, 6, and 7. Here's what we see. Angels said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. Go quickly. Tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead." My favorite part is, he has risen just as he said. Bursting from the tomb comes the risen Savior. He is called the Savior because he saves us from our sins. He has paid for the sins of mankind and he has conquered death. God has exalted him as the life giver. You understand that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin and rose again, when he rose again, he conquered death. He is the life giver. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "In Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive." John 11, 25, "He is the resurrection and the life." John 14, 6, "He is the way, the truth, and the life." So you understand that God has exalted Jesus as the life giver because he has conquered death. You understand that when a person dies physically, every human being, whether they are a believer or an unbeliever, every human being is going to be raised from the dead because Jesus Christ has conquered death. Death is not the end. There will be some people raised from the dead to spend eternity separated from God because they did not believe in Jesus Christ. There will be people raised from the dead who will spend eternity with Jesus Christ because they trusted him as Savior. Jesus is the life giver. God has exalted him because he has conquered death. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. The most famous verse in the Bible that talks about him being the Savior is John 3:16. There are many people, in fact, most people know this verse. This is the only verse that I knew before I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was 19 years old. I was in college when I trusted Christ. If you had said to me, "You know any verses from the Bible?" I would say, "No, I don't, except I think I know that one, John 3:16. That's the only one that I knew. God so loved the world, that's us, that he gave his only begotten Son, gave him to leave the glories of heaven, come to this earth, die on the cross, pay for sin, and rise again. Gave his only begotten Son that whosoever would believe, not do good works, but believe in Jesus Christ, would not perish, not be separated from God, but would have eternal life, life forever. Jesus Christ. So this is his exaltation deals first of all with his resurrection as he paid for the sins and conquered death. So he is that. But there's a second aspect of his exaltation, and that's his position. His position is he is God and he is King. Notice what it says. "For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name." Bestowed on him, gave him the name above all. Notice he didn't say gave him a name. It says the name which is above all names. He has the name. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. By the way, what is his name? You want to see it? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord is the Greek word for kurios. It means deity. When people say Jesus is Lord, what they're meaning is that the Bible means by it that Jesus Christ is God. He has the name above all names because he is God. He is the living God. He has always existed. And so when you say Jesus is the Lord, you're saying that he is God. The name Jesus itself means Savior. When the angel came to Joseph and said, "You shall call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from his sins." Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. The name Jesus means Savior. It's the same name as the Old Testament name Yeshua, which is the name Joshua. Joshua and Jesus are the same name. Joshua is a Hebrew name, Yeshua. And Jesus is sort of a Greek name, and it means Savior. And then the word Christ, it means the anointed one of God, the one set apart by God to do what God had for him to do. The name Christ is a Greek name. The name Messiah is a Hebrew name. Messiah and Christ are the same thing. the name which is above every name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something. People say God all the time. And you can say God and nobody gets mad. You can say, I love God. You love God. Everybody loves God. But you say, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. There is only one Savior. He is the one who is God, who is the Savior. He is the anointed one of God. And you make a lot of people mad. Because a lot of people don't believe that. You can say God all you want to, but when you start calling out the name which is above all names, the name Jesus Christ, and He is the Lord Jesus Christ, God who is the Savior, who is the anointed one of God, when you use that name, that is the name. And notice what it says. For this reason, God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him, gave Him the name which is above every name. And there are all kind of groups out there, and they use the name God and all kind of things. But when you start saying the Lord Jesus Christ, you get specific. There is only one Savior. There is only one mediator and one God, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible says He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. There's only one Savior. And that's why, because of His coming to the earth, dying on the cross, paying for sin, God has highly exalted Him, raised Him up, and given Him the name. By the way, that's the name in which we're saved. You're not saved by believing in God. You are saved by believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Just remember that. People say, I believe in God. That doesn't mean anything. You must believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, believing that He died for you on the cross, that He paid for your sins and rose again. He is your Savior. You trust in Him, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above all names. That's who you believe in for eternal life. He says, for this reason, God highly exalted Him, bestowed on Him the name which is above every name. Resurrection, He's the King, He's the Savior. But we see two things are going to happen. Notice what this says. That at the name of Jesus, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Two things are going to happen. First of all, every knee will bow. And second, every tongue will compare or declare or confess. And we'll talk about what that means. Let's start with every knee will bow. Do you understand that not only every believer, every unbeliever, angels, everything will bow before Jesus Christ because He is God, who is the Savior, who is the Anointed One. Every knee. Listen to this. Isaiah 45, verse 23. God is speaking. He says, I have sworn by myself. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness. It will not turn back. That to me, every knee will bow and every tongue will swear allegiance. Every human being, every angel, the entire creation, every person will bow before Jesus Christ. Think about this. First of all, believers. Then go to the next slide. Every believer will bow. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded, to be judged for the things we've done. You understand that as a believer, every one of us one day will go before our Savior and we will bow before Him. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is our Savior. Now, when we stand before the call, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded. We're standing before our Savior. This has nothing to do with eternal life. This has nothing to do with going to heaven. We're going to heaven because we believed in Jesus. But one day we will stand before Him and to be rewarded based on how we lived our Christian lives. You will bow before your Savior. What you want to hear Him say is this. You want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. One day, every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior, you will be on your knees before your Savior to be rewarded for how you live this life. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with rewards. And you want to hear Him say, well done. Romans 14, verse 12. Listen to what it says. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall give praise. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. That's the truth. Now here's another truth. unbelievers will bow before Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 and 12, at what's called the Great White Throne Judgment, they bow before Him. Their names are not found written in the book of life. Once again, how they lived has nothing to do with their salvation. It's whether they believed in Jesus Christ or not. If they did not believe in Jesus, their names are not found written in the book of life. They will bow before Him, and then they'll be separated from Him forever. Every person, whether they're a believer or an unbeliever, will bow before Jesus Christ. My prayer is this. I hope that every one of you in this room, that you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Remember, He's the name above all names. He's the one who came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. He has conquered death. He's the King of kings, Lord of lords. Everyone will bow before Him. If you have believed in Him as your Savior, you'll bow before Him, and He will reward you. If you have not believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will bow before Him, and you'll be separated from Him forever. I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, that you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the truth. That's the Bible. Now, notice, it says that every knee will bow. Now, notice what he goes on to say, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. Well, those in heaven are angels and believers who have died. On the earth are those people who are still alive. And then under the earth are basically the unbelievers, those who have already died. Everyone will bow before Jesus Christ. But there's more. Not only will they bow, but every tongue will confess. Now, the word confess, notice it says, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The word confess there means to agree. It means to say the same thing. Every tongue will agree that Jesus Christ is Lord. And remember, the word Lord, kyrios in the Greek, means deity. Every human being one day is going to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God. There are people today who say, no, I don't believe Jesus is God. I don't believe all that. One day, every human being, they will be bowing before Him and they will say, you are the living God. They will agree to that. That's what it means, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The word Lord there means to acknowledge that He is the deity. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, it talked about all these crowds around the throne and they bow down. Now look at the end result. That every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The end result is to the glory of God the Father. Ultimately, all the glory goes to the Father. The Father is the one who sent the Son. The Son came to the earth and died for us, paid for sin. Jesus came to do the will of the Father and to bring glory to the Father. God the Father gets all the glory. Now what have we seen? We have seen His humiliation and His exaltation. The steps down, how He left the glories of heaven. He veiled His glory and became a servant, became a human being, died and died on the cross. He died for our sins. But we've seen His exaltation as God has highly raised Him up. He has conquered death. He is the Savior and the King. He is the Lord. Everyone will bow. Everyone will acknowledge all of this to the glory of the Father. Now, as believers, we're to follow this example of Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. If you notice the flow of the passage, not just the theological passage about the death and resurrection of Christ, but he's telling them, you've got to live in unity. The only way you can live in unity is show humility, and the greatest example of humility is Jesus Christ. So live like Christ in humility. And as believers, we're to follow the example of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. Now this passage and this idea of being like Christ, not only did Jesus die and rise again, He died, humbled Himself, and then was exalted. The truth is, when we live a life of humility, one day God will exalt us. And when you stand before your Savior, He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Take what is prepared for you, the positions of responsibility that I have for you. Very powerful truth. I'll give you some applications, some things to think about. First of all, understand the humility and the exaltation of Christ. This is an incredible passage. In fact, as far as theologians go, this is one of the most famous passages in the Bible that all theologians study, because it talks about Jesus leaving the glories of heaven and emptying Himself and all of this. What you have in this passage is actually what we call the gospel message, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how He came and died and how He is exalted. So understand the humility and exaltation of Christ. First of all, He humbled Himself. And as I said earlier, we cannot comprehend what it means that the living God, who has always existed for all eternity, leaves the glory of heaven and becomes a human being. And becomes a human being. And then dies on the cross to pay for our sins. We can't comprehend that. But we also understand that God exalted him and has raised him up and given him the greatest name of all. That he's conquered death. He's the King of Kings. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is God. So understand that. If you want to, sometimes study the passage on your own. We've already gone over it. You can go to the website. You know, all of the messages are on the website. You can go back and listen to it again. You can do your own study, trying to put it together to see how this fits. Second, let's follow the example of Jesus Christ. Let's humble ourselves as Christ. Let's have that attitude of humility. And I've already talked about this. We must humble ourselves for salvation. Don't misunderstand me. I'm telling you that you are not capable in yourself of doing anything that would merit salvation. You're not saved because you walk down an aisle. You're not saved because you get baptized. You're not saved because you turn away from your sins. You're not saved because of anything that you might do, because you're not capable of doing it. You're not capable of saving yourself. You have to humble yourself to realize that you are not the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the one that died and rose again. You trust in Him. God has offered the gift of eternal life. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. So technically, we have to humble ourselves for salvation. We say, I can't save myself. I must trust in Jesus and Him alone. Second, we must humble ourselves in the Christian life. This is what this passage is about. He's saying, live in humility just like Jesus. And we need to recognize that as we go through life, we live in God's power. Through us, we rely on serving the living God and humility. There is unity. The third thing and the last thing is know that one day God will exalt us. Now, some people don't like that. They say, well, you know, living for God, why should He do anything for us? Because here's a principle in the Scripture that whoever humbles himself, God exalts. And as you live the Christian life in humility, looking out for others, living for Jesus Christ, touching lives for Christ, one day He will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. This is for you. He will exalt you to a place of leadership and service. That's what He says. May we follow the example of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, who humbled Himself, living a life of humility, knowing one day that as we live a life of humility, He will also exalt us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for these great truths. Help us to understand them. And Lord, we realize Jesus died and rose again, and that's our gospel message, but that's the humility and the exaltation of our Savior. He did that for us. And Lord, may we think in the same way. Let the same mind that was in Christ be in us, that we live a life of humility, knowing that one day you will exalt us as well. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of serving you and living for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.